I like to hand out Loblaws. Sometimes I go and I like the produce section mostly, and sometimes I just loiter. And every now and again, they just ask me to leave because they don't really want people loitering at the Loblaws. But I just really, I like the produce section. And this week, I was actually there to buy something, and thought maybe I'd try to buy some fruit because it's in the winter, you like to try to get the nutrients and your vitamin C. And I think when we buy fruit, we're all similar, and then we buy the staple kinds of fruit. We buy the apples and the oranges, bananas, maybe some grapes. But there's fruit in the produce section at Loblaws that often gets overlooked. The overlooked fruits. So just show of hands, I'm just curious. How many of you, when you're at the produce section, buy the fruit we call figs? How many of you buy figs? A few of you? No? Fig Newtons don't count, that's not. How many of you buy the fruit dates? A couple of you do. How many of you buy the fruit rhubarb? And rhubarb is a fruit. It's not, some people think it's a vegetable, it's actually a fruit. A couple of you buy it. Good. These are the overlooked fruits that rarely we buy when we go into the produce section, aren't they? And I think that gentleness is an overlooked fruit of the Spirit. We remember the list of the fruits of the Spirit. Let's see if I can bring this up. Yancy, will you just move that up, and then I'll see if I can click my way through it. These fruits of the Spirit we've been talking about here for, oh gosh, it's been about 5 weeks now. We've been going through the fruits of the Spirit. And I just want to bring up a text from Galatians 5 that will remind you what some of those fruits of the Spirit are. Until that comes up, I'll just read it for you. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, kindness, patience, goodness. Like, these are all things that, like, you just think about this. And this is just all through the New Testament. When the Spirit of God is with you, you will be changed in some way. That's what we believe as Christians. When God comes up alongside you and finds a way to live in your life in some way, that there will be things that you will grow in your lives. That's what we've been talking about. Self-control. But then there's gentleness. And I don't know how often we think about gentleness in our lives. Do we even want gentleness in our lives? Because oftentimes when we think of gentleness, we think of, well, weak, maybe. Wimpy, kind of a wimpy person is gentle. Someone that he's walked on. Do you want gentleness in your lives? Well, you do, but what does the Bible mean when it uses the word gentle? I mean, we would never write gentleness on a resume when we're applying for a job to describe ourselves. People don't want to hire a gentle person, they want to hire an ambitious person with moxie and ambition, don't they? We don't vote for politicians who are gentle. Bernie Sanders and all the rest of his crew certainly aren't being gentle with each other this week. Athletes don't generally win gentleness awards after a season is over. Actually, that's not true. In the NHL, they have a gentleman award. What's that called? The Lady Bing. It's the most gentlemanly player. But nobody cares about that award. Are you going to hire a gentle attorney to stick up for you in a court of law? Like, do you want gentle people in your lives? Do you raise your kids to be gentle? I think about that all the time. Did I raise my kids to be gentle? Because gentle's not going to get you the big job in the nice house. Who wants to be gentle? I think what often happens is that we tend to associate gentleness with weakness. I typed in the word gentle on the online thesaurus. The words I got were mild, docile, soft, tender. Like, who wants that? Who wants that? You're going to raise your kids to be that way? You want your politicians and your attorneys and your athletes to be that way? And yet, consistently in Scripture, gentleness is used to describe the person that is full of the Holy Spirit. Gentleness is the word used to describe a follower of Jesus. And so we need to have a better understanding what Scripture is talking about when it talks about gentleness. We looked at this word a while back, but there's one word I want to show you, and it's called praeutes. There it is, gentleness. This is a Greek word that can be translated as gentleness, meekness, humble of heart. What's helpful to know is that when the Greeks, in the Greek language, they not only defined words, but they had a picture that went along with the word. So the picture, and it's helpful if we know what the picture of praeutes is. The language definition is gentleness, meekness, humble of heart. But the picture that this word gives us, and the Greeks just always have an image with their words, the picture is the picture of a stallion. A powerful stallion is the picture for that word. And this stallion is tamed, so it has he has reins on him now. And the reins have been handed over to the owner so that the owner can use the horse's power for his or her benefit. And that's the picture we have of this word that is translated as gentleness. It's a power that now has reins on it, and some owner has those reins and is now controlling that power for someone else's benefit. They say that horses detect fear. Horse lovers, are you horse lovers? Some of you? Horse haters? I'm not a horse hater. I'm afraid of horses. I can't go near a horse. Their big heads, just one swing of the head, and it's just bang. But our good friend Anne Marie, who is John's daughter, Anne Marie is a horseback rider, and if you are, you know this and you've seen this. Anne Marie maybe weighs 100 pounds, but she gets on the back of these massive beasts. And she takes the reins and she controls all that power through those reins. And this is the picture that that ancient Greek word is giving us for gentleness. That there is a power and that there is some kind of owner that takes the reins of that power and is able to control it. And in the Bible, the picture that is given to us is that we're not the ones holding the reins. We're the horse that has the power, and God is holding the reins. And this idea that when we walk with the Spirit beside us, God is able to control our lives so that we can live gently. That's the picture. That somehow God controls our lives so that we can live gently. Now I just want to give you three things that will happen as we keep in step with that Spirit and just this image that God has his hands on us and these reins are controlling the power we have to act in different ways. And the first one is this, it may seem obvious. Move on. Gentleness will begin to grow if we keep in step with the Spirit. There's one image that is powerful to me that I'll always remember, and it's just the image of the potter and the clay, where God is the potter and we're clay, and God has hands on us and molding us into something beautiful. The thing is, people tend to think of gentleness as a personality trait. And people will say, I'm just not hardwired genetically to be gentle. Like, my whole family is A-type personality. We're all a little bit hot-headed. We've always been that way. It's been generation after generation. That's just the way we are. Like, we're just not a gentle people. Like, the fruit of the Spirit you call gentleness, that's a personality trait that I just don't have. It's not part of my genetic makeup. People will say that with regard to gentleness. It's just not who I am. But that's not consistent with what the Bible teaches when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit. And in Galatians 5, there's the nature of the flesh, our human nature, and then there's the way of the Spirit. And here's how Paul puts that. The flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other. So, the Spirit brings us in another direction than what would be natural for us to do. That's why for many of us, it's more natural to respond in anger than it is in compassion. That's natural. It's more natural to give a sarcastic response instead of a sincere one. That's what's natural to us. It's more natural to be critical than encouraging. But the Bible says we're to keep in step. Instead, with the Spirit, not what comes naturally to us. And so it's not okay to say, look, that's just the way I am. That's just the way I'm hardwired. That's the way I'm genetically disposed. My dad was like that. My grandfather was like that. That's just my personality trait. That's never going to change. It's not okay to say that. Instead, we have to say, I can be changed when the Spirit holds the reins of my life. All through the New Testament, all through the letters of Paul, all through the teachings of Jesus is this idea that God has his hands on us some way, and in this image, it's reins, and we're the power, and God has reins, and God is able to control us so that we can act gently to people around us. The show Dancing with the Stars. Have you seen that show, Dancing with the Stars? You may have, you may not want to admit it. I've never seen it, but I do watch Sports Desk. They had a clip on Sports Desk of Emmett Smith, who is an ex-football player, and Evander Holyfield. They were two contestants, not the right word, but they were on Dancing with the Stars. Emmett Smith has thighs like a tree trunk. He was a running back for the Dallas Cowboys. And Evander Holyfield was a boxer. Big, huge upper body, big, huge arms. So the idea in the show is that they go out with a dance instructor and they work to learn to dance. People that don't normally dance. And at first it's awkward, they're tripping over their feet, they're trying to remember what they're supposed to do, and it's just really messy. But they keep at it. They don't quit. And day after day after day of practicing like this one dance, like 6 hours a day, keeping in step with the instructor. And then suddenly it's like their feet know what to do. It's like muscle memory kicks in. And instead of being awkward anymore, it's like these athletes who made their living in vicious games and sports now move gracefully and gently across the dance floor. It's really something to see. So when we keep in step with the Spirit, this is just Paul's image, when you become a Christian, things don't change overnight. But instead, you keep in step with the Spirit, and in time, walking with that Spirit, things like gentleness become new natural. You're the power. You have power to act in certain ways. And there's an image that there's reins that God has in his hands, and he can help you to act gently. Here's the second thing. Some of this may just seem self-evident, but keeping in step with the Spirit will control words that we speak. There is always a connection in the Bible with behavior changing as we walk with the Spirit. And there's this connection between how we speak to people and whether or not the Spirit of God is with us. It's almost like a litmus test, I guess you could say. Like the words that you use as you're speaking to people is some evidence with whether or not the Spirit of God is with you. And again, for a lot of us, the language of gentleness and kindness, encouragement, is not the language you were taught when you were growing up. You were taught the language of sarcasm. That's your native tongue. Your native tongue is yelling. Your native tongue might be criticism. That's what you were taught growing up. No one ever spoke to you in the language of gentleness. Here's what James, the writer James, says. There's just one small letter in the Bible called James, and I like James because he just puts it on the table and he's always really easy to understand. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. And so for me, here's what this looks like. When you're talking to your children or your spouse, what are the words you use? The way you speak to your employee, you just made a mistake. Like when we were talking about the sweater with the kids. I mean, we make mistakes. What are the words we use to the people around us when the people around us make a mistake? The words you choose when you're on the hockey rink or the golf course. The words you use and the way you speak have a way of revealing whether or not you are walking with the Spirit. 1 Peter is another small book in the New Testament. Peter talks about how gentleness needs to be shown itself in how Christians defend their faith and talk about their faith. Peter says this, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. What we see so many Christians doing is they get so passionate about what they believe in, and speaking up for biblical truth is really important, it's good, but they do it without any gentleness. And you can see it when people are talking about issues like LGBTQ, with people who may not agree with them, or people are talking about abortion, or whether or not we read the Bible literally, or whether or not people from other religions are saved, or whatever the issue is. These are passionate people, and these are Christian people, but as soon as they start talking about their faith, there's no gentleness in their discussions. And we've seen name-calling and raised voices and bitterness and aggression. We've all seen that. Defend your faith, of course. Stand up for biblical principles. But do it with gentleness and respect. Like the song says, may they know we are Christians by our love. Lastly, just want you to see this. When we walk with the Spirit, we begin to see people through the eyes of Jesus. If we can learn to see people through the eyes of Jesus, we will treat them with gentleness. Jesus treated people with gentleness because he saw the value in all people. I mean, he saw the value in enemies like the Romans. He treated in a certain way, treated them with gentleness. He took outcasts in, like Mary Magdalene. Well, there's a long list of outcasts. Jesus saw people in a different way. And if we can see people through the eyes of Jesus, we'll treat people with respect. That will happen. And so maybe our simple prayer is just, Spirit, help me to see people through Jesus' eyes. When you have to deal with a high-maintenance relative, say the prayer. Help me to see this person through Jesus' eyes. Or an employee that you have to work with. Or when your neighbor is walking down your driveway and her sole purpose in life is to remind you where your property ends and her property begins, just say that prayer. Help me to see people through the eyes of Jesus. And you'll be surprised. I'm surprised. The people that used to annoy you and me and people that were frustrating, if you see them through the eyes of Jesus, suddenly you'll see their value. And you'll see how precious each person is and you'll learn to treat them with gentleness. Just want to show you this to finish. This is a guitar, as you can see, that Taylor bought this in Toronto, I think. When he went to Barcelona, he couldn't take this with him, so he left it with us, but it's a very valuable guitar. He paid a lot of money for it, and he sure cares a lot about it. Actually, he told us that Gordon Lightfoot played this guitar. And so he left it with us, and he said, make sure you take care of this guitar. And on the guitar case, he put a big sticker, a big label that said, fragile, handle with care. So we said, well, it'll be okay for a while if you don't... $40. Wow, 30 now. No. But for a second there, there was an audible gasp, wasn't there? Do you know why? Because nobody likes to see precious things handled carelessly or without any gentleness. How do you think God feels when we treat each other without any gentleness? God loves each one of you more than you can even know. And how do you think God feels when we treat others carelessly and without any gentleness, and when people get broken and bruised and damaged? And we remember that God sees us in that same way, fragile, handled with care. And that's the good news, that Jesus sees you as fragile, and God always deals with each one of us with gentleness. And the invitation that we get every Sunday when we come here, maybe not in words, but in spirit, are these words. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. Put myself in that category, and I will give you rest. And Jesus says, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. That's a good verse to have Karen come up. She has a beautiful song she's going to share with us that has to do with the gentleness of the Spirit.